Luke 17 and verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but the offenses will come. But woe unto him for whom they shall come, or whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. We started a study a few weeks ago in spiritual growth, and we have been considering different subject matters in relationship to spiritual growth. And here we come to a vital text on the subject matter, and that is growing in faith. Now, at the outset of this series, I told the church that the very purpose of being in the Lord's house, among the Lord's people, and of course being a member of the Lord's church, is that you might grow. God wants you to grow. That's the very purpose of establishing a New Testament church and establishing men to preach the Word of God. The very purpose of that is for you to go. And we looked at different areas of the subject matter of spiritual growth, the necessity of spiritual life. You can't grow unless you have spiritual life. You have to also have a desire to grow, like a little baby would have a desire for milk, so you must have a desire for the Word of God in order to grow. Then you also must lay aside some things to grow. There must be things that are cut out of your life if you're going to grow spiritually. And last week we saw the need of growing in grace. And this week we look at the need of growing in faith. Growing in faith. Here we find that the disciples asked the Lord in verse 5, and I preached from this text before. It's one of my favorite texts in relationship to faith. But I want you to see this, and we'll build upon this from the subject matter for the subject this morning. But the disciples ask for an increase in faith in verse 5, and the apostles said, and the Lord, increase our faith. And their cry for more faith grew out of a realization of their need for more faith. They understood what the Lord was saying to them, and they understood the impossibility of the task at hand, and that is to be a forgiving people. Someone say, well, forgiveness is easy. Well, that's not true. Forgiveness is not easy. We know that whenever people offend us, it is hard for us to forgive them and move on. Well, here the Lord says, if your brother trespass against you, he lays down a biblical rule. I won't get into all this in great detail. He lays out a biblical rule of how we're to deal with offenses in the text. He tells us, if your brother offends you, then you go to your brother and you tell him. You tell him, you've offended me. Much could be helped if we would just apply what the Scripture says in the text. And instead of trying to do things our own way, just do what the Bible says. So we to go to our brother. We're not to go to every other brother. You know, a lot of times we do that. But here it says, go to your brother and tell him, you've offended me. And then if he repents, so you deal with the subject matter. If he repents, and you forgive him. But then Jesus goes further than that. You know, if someone wrongs you once, well, that's one thing. And then someone wrongs you twice, well, that's something else. And then if they wrong you three or four times, well, man, that I just can't deal with them anymore. But Jesus says that believers are different than the world around them. We have to act differently. We have to learn how to live the Christian life. And Jesus teaches us here in these verses of Scripture that the way to live the Christian life is to be a forgiving people. He says that you must not only forgive once or twice, but notice what this text says, verse 4. If he trespass against thee 7 times, not in a year, not in a month, not in a week, but 7 times in a day. And 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Just by the bare words of the text, the apostles say, Lord, we're going to have some faith to be able to do that. Matter of fact, we have to have more faith than we have to do that. So he says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. These apostles, who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, understood that what the Lord required of them was more than they could naturally do. And we are naturally unable to do anything that the Lord requires. This is something that believers must learn. As a believer, you must learn this truth that in you, that is naturally from your old nature, you cannot do what the Lord requires of you to do. It takes supernatural grace, supernatural works of God in your life for you to be able to even perform the tasks of a Christian. That's why in the book of Galatians, the Bible says that the fruit of the who? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gives a list of them, right? Now, who are they a fruit of? And the word fruit there means the product of. Who produces those things? Do you produce them? No, the Spirit produces them. So we cannot love biblically. We cannot be long-suffering, as the Bible says. We can't do anything apart from the operation of the work of the Spirit of God in us. See, Christians are dependent. They're dependent to be saved to start with, and they are dependent all throughout their Christian life. We are dependent people. We have an absolute dependency upon the God of heaven in the person of the Holy Ghost or the Spirit that works in us. And so these disciples, even in their, you know, they may not have understood, as we do not understand, all the facets of that, but they understood this much. Hey, if a brother comes to me and he offends me today, and I have to do this, and then just a little while later in the day he comes back and offends me again and asks me to forgive him. Then again, a little bit later on, here another hour has passed and something else happens, and I'm supposed to forgive him over and over and over again? Well, I just can't do that. And all I'd have to do to prove this is to set you down with somebody who's going to offend you 7 times in a day, and you'll find out just how how uneasy you are in relationship to forgiveness. And then that day would come, and then there'd be another day, the next day, and then 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 the next day. This is what Jesus is dealing with. He's dealing with us in our humanity. We should realize what Jesus is teaching here this way. So we need, this is the point, we need more faith to live out our Christianity. We need more faith to live like Jesus lives, because you know Jesus, our great high priest, even at this hour, is in a state in relationship to us of willing, ready, and able to perpetually forgive us. In the book of 1 John, you know the text there where it says, if we say we have no sin, he's a believer now. We're not talking about lost people. If we, believers, say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And so what does he tell us to do there? We are to go, the next verses say, that we're to confess our sins. To who? To Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus Christ does to believers' sins? He forgives them. He's ready and willing to forgive when we repent, have a change of heart, mind, and will in relationship to our sin, and then we go to him and confess them. So we need to live more like Jesus Christ, and we need more faith to do that. We need more faith to be obedient to the commands and the demands of Christ. In this text, this is not a suggestion for the Christian life. This is a demand of the lawgiver, the Lord Jesus Christ, on how to live out our Christian profession. He tells us in the text, take heed to yourselves. Watch out for how you live. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. That's a command too. Well, it's hard to do that. You know what we usually do when our brothers offend us? We just let it go. Or we try to, you know, bear. And there are other scriptures that tell us, you know, that we can absorb things if we can truly absorb them. But sometimes we really don't truly absorb them. We're like a, you know, we're like a gerbil or a hamster. We just fill our jaws with everything and wait until it almost chokes us or something like that. So here we come to a text that teaches us that we need more faith to be obedient to the commands and the demands of Christ. So as we think about this, and we'll be looking at this no doubt for the next few weeks, are you growing in faith? And how much are you growing in faith? How much are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? And how much are you being obedient to the commands of Christ? How concerned are you with obeying the commands of Christ? You know, a person who is not obeying the commands of Christ, they are not growing in faith. They may have faith in their Redeemer, but if you're not living the life, beloved, you are not growing in faith. And so we need to grow in faith. So let's look at this morning on spiritual growth, this area of spiritual growth, of growing in faith. The first thing I want us to notice from the scripture is that faith is a gift of God. In other words, to grow in faith, we must recognize the source of our faith. The source of our faith. And these apostles, the disciples here in the text, they realized who was the giver of faith. This shows us the deity of Jesus Christ very clearly, because Jesus Christ is the man, Christ Jesus, in the text, but he's also God. And they say, do they not? And the apostles said unto him, unto the Lord, increase our faith. They're talking to Jesus Christ. And to grow in faith, we must recognize the source of our faith. Faith is a gift sovereignly and graciously given by the God of heaven. Faith is a gift of God. We will come back to this text, but in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2 and 8 is a scripture that is a banner for God's people. Teach us how we are saved, how we're kept by God's grace, how God operates in relationship to His grace. But Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Nothing new for most of you, but notice very carefully. For by grace are you saved. How are you saved? You're saved by grace. How does that grace come to you? It is through faith. And that not of yourselves. What's not of yourselves? It is not, grace is not of ourselves. The instrument by which we receive grace is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. When we come to the idea of salvation, salvation is always someone delivering somebody else. Now, in the religious world, salvation has been convoluted to believe where someone saves themselves or has a part in their salvation. But biblically speaking, deliverance is always somebody. It may be a physical deliverance if someone's drowning, then someone that's, you know, has the ability goes and saves somebody else who is drowning. They don't deliver themselves. There's a deliverer, there's a savior, and a saved. And so it is in the area of salvation. In every aspect of salvation, God is the initiator, God is the giver, God is the savior. And so faith is this way. Faith is the gift of God. And God gives faith in the new birth. And God gives an increase to our faith as the children of God. And the disciples realize this. They know that it was God that worked in them this wonderful thing called faith, and they knew that it was God that must increase their faith, and so they called out to Him in this little text in the book of Luke 17, and they say, "Lord, increase our faith." God gives faith in the new birth, and God increases our faith as the children of God. Now, I'm very careful as I talk about faith and in relationship to God's gift and versus what we do with faith. I've told the church that one way to think about this is faith is a noun and believe is a verb. Always. Faith is a noun, believe is a verb. Now, if you're an English, if you're an English scholar like I'm not, you'll still know that a noun does something. I can ask my little children, they have enough school, I say, what does a noun do? A noun's a person, place, or thing, or an idea. A verb is a doing word. It does something. So faith always, every time you see the word faith in the Bible, it's always a noun. It's not something that you do. It's something that you possess. And believe is a verb. Believe is something that you do. And so by faith we believe. We believe because God gives us this wonderful gift of faith. Now God does not believe for us. When a person's saved, they believe. They believe the gospel. They believe that God is righteous. They believe that they're sinners. They believe a lot of things in relationship to themselves and in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe. God doesn't believe for anybody. But God gives faith. Same thing with repentance. God grants repentance. I can show you that in the scripture. God grants repentance. There's a divine side to salvation and a human side to salvation. And I'm not going to labor the point this morning, but we as believers need to understand this because that's what God would have us understand in His Word. I can show you where the Bible says that He gave them repentance or granted repentance. The Bible says, "Turn me and I shall be turned." So all through the scripture you can find these things, this idea. But God doesn't repent for us. God doesn't need to repent. We need to repent. And we need to believe what God has said. But now we come back to the subject matter. And I think it's important for you to see the source. Now, if you overlook the source of faith, then you'll think that you could do this thing on your own. Here, and this is where Christians get burnt out. They're working in the energy of their old nature, called the flesh. They work in that energy, and they do it for different reasons. Some people forgive people. They don't really forgive them, but they go through the motions of forgiveness to look good. But they never have forgiven them in their heart. They really don't forgive them. That's just a facade. They just say, "Yeah, I forgive you," but they really don't forgive. So when we talk about forgiveness in the context, it takes something supernatural for you to be able to forgive, and then not only to forgive, but then to continually forgive. It takes something supernatural for you to be able to continue to forgive. And so the Lord here tells them to do this, and the disciples say, "Hey, you're going to have to help us with this. We need more faith." So they say, what do they say very carefully? They say, "Increase our faith." Lord, increase our faith. Luke 17 and verse 5. God should be looked to for the increase of faith. Disciples are dependent on Christ to increase their faith. You cannot increase your own faith, but God can. And so you go to God's Word to hear what He has to say. We're going to look at this in a moment. You go to Him in prayer, asking Him to increase your faith. And you do those things, beloved, and you can be assured that the Lord will increase your faith. God should be praised when faith increases. You know, whenever you're able to handle a situation in your Christian life, you're able to handle it, you turn around and you give God the praise for you being able to handle it, because you couldn't handle it without His aid, without His grace, without Him doing something in your life. When you see other people, and they're dealing with each other in their Christian walk, and you say, boy, they have really progressed. You can go and encourage them and say, it's wonderful to see that you progressed, but then you turn around and you thank God for their progression. Let me show you in the book of 2 Thessalonians. You know, much of Christianity today is man-centered in every single way, every single facet. Man, you know, a lot of church services end up being a man-praising session of what man has done and how great man is and what he's accomplished. But the Bible presents God and man differently. Even saved people, it presents this way of the need of God's grace and how we're to be thankful for what He does. So, as the apostle writes to the church at Thessalonica, notice what he says to them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Now, let me just stop here and say that growing faith is noticeable. When a person is growing in faith, others can see their growth in faith. They can see that their faith is being increased. So the Apostle Paul could say to the Thessalonians, I see that you're growing in this area of your life. But notice very carefully who Paul said gets the glory for this. Paul says, we are bound. The word bound there means to be tied up. Someone's bound their hands. I'm tied up to this. In other words, I cannot be released in any other area to give thanks but to the God of heaven. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. The word meet there means right, just, fit. As it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So here he thanks God for their growing faith and their abounding love. Now they were growing in faith, and they were abounding in love, and it was noticeable that they were doing something with this faith, or this faith was growing in them. In other words, they were believing what God said. They were taking God at His word more and more and more and more. And the outcome of that is that where they were displaying love toward each other. Love, well, even like in our text, the forgiving kind of love, right? Because remember what charity does. Charity vaunteth not itself. It seeketh not its own. All kinds of things there in the book of 1 Corinthians 13. So faith is sovereignly and graciously given by God, and we should look to Him to increase it, and when He does, we should thank Him for it and praise Him for it, as the apostle does of this text. Paul did not praise the Thessalonians for their increased faith. He praised God for it. Now he admonishes them and encourages them, hey, I can see this. But he thanked God for it, because God was due the thanksgiving. Believers would do well. Churches would be strengthened if we could see that we have an area of praise that only belongs to the God of heaven for everything that occurs good in the believer's life. As we think about growing in faith, you must recognize the source of faith. Faith is a grace that is common to all the children of God, and only to the children of God. The book of 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a time when we don't have faith. Then there's a time when we do have faith. When we're lost, we don't have faith. Now, I talk to people. I remember one time when we lived over in Eden Gardens when we first moved here, and there was a little Seventh-day Adventist community. We had a little Bible study at somebody's house, and we started talking about faith and faith being a gift of God. And the man said, "Everybody's got faith." No, they don't. Faith is a gift of God that is common to believers. It is common to God's people through the power of God's grace. And so Peter says, now notice, I want you to notice something. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. And here's how it's obtained. It is through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Apart from God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, you can't even have any faith. The source of faith. It is not common to all men. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2 proves this point. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2 says, well, let's back up to verse 1. Says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course. You know how the word of God can have free course? Only if God allows it to have free course or makes it have free course. That's why he said, pray for us. Paul couldn't force his way to make the word of God have free course. And be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Faith, beloved, is just not laying around everywhere and everybody has it. Oh, I've heard preachers argue and say, well, you got to have, you have faith to sit in a chair, and you have faith to cross a bridge. That's not saving faith. Saving faith is something different in the Scripture. When you go to the Scripture, we're just taking what the Scripture says. You go to the Scripture teaches us that God is the source of faith, that He is the distributor of faith, that faith resides in Him, and that He gives His faith to His people. And that is not, beloved, only initially, but that is how it works all through the Christian life. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, we say, as our disciples give us, the apostles give an example here, we say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to grow in faith. I know that I am dependent upon Thee. I know that You're the only one that can increase my faith. And these things that You would have me to do as a Christian, that You would have me do as a believer, they're hard things to do. I can't do them. I need You to help me increase my faith. You know, beloved, the vast majority of mankind doesn't care what God says. They really don't. They don't have faith. And no man has faith naturally. Men have faith supernaturally. And if you'd have more faith as a believer, that kind of sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? A believer that needs more faith. But you do. And if you'd have more, then ask the Lord for more faith as these disciples did. Next week we'll look at identifying some things about faith. What it is and what it's not. You'll have the notes so you can kind of look ahead if you want to. But the thing is, beloved, is that I'll tell you this much about faith. Faith's just simply taking God at His word. Taking God at His word. You do that when you're first saved. You just begin to take God at His word. You never took Him at His word before. You know, He said you was a sinner. You didn't believe it. But something happened. Something supernaturally took place in your life where you began to believe what He had to say. And then He starts telling you how to live your life. He tells you how to deal with other believers. He tells you how to deal with the world. And we say, that was too hard. I don't want to do that one. So the Lord says, you know what you need? You need some more faith. And the Holy Spirit will work in your heart. He'll even work that in your heart. And they'll cry out, increase our faith. May God bless you with this. May you grow in faith. May you want to grow in faith. May you desire to grow in faith. May you grow in faith. And may you know, first and foremost, that there is a storehouse of faith. It's found in God Himself. And He can supply what you need this morning. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Thank you for your attention to God's Word.